Good morning and welcome to Radio Naturopath. This is a call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. It's March 11th, 2020. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. So, okay.
So?
I'm a health practitioner.
Where do you start?
Right. So the thing is, things are changing so fast, and things are different than they were last week even, and things are keep changing by the day. So it's pretty incredible. Here in the on-air studio, I'm sitting next to a bottle of hand sanitizer, which I've already used, and so has Ron.
Yay.
And I'll probably use it again.
Because I touched, like, doors and things on
you
my way over here.
You sure did.
I tried not to touch anything, but I did.
Yeah, but you can't help to touch things. I actually used a wipe on the microphone.
Did you really?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. I didn't do
that. Yeah, there's not spray here. It would be nice if there was some kind of spray. Hmm. That would be a good thing. But, you know.
There's not spray in any of the stores either.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Wiped out.
No.
Everybody's wiped out.
People are panic buying. That's true.
Oh, God, it's bad.
It's pretty intense. So here's what's going on in the state of Connecticut. So first of all, you know, I'm trying to push some information out. So because I feel responsible as a healthcare practitioner to talk about what's going on and what we're doing, what I'm doing, that kind of thing. So you have an idea of what to do. And so these are the immediate preventative measures for the state of Connecticut, as I understand them. Currently, the biggest thing you can do is prevention. Keep hand sanitizer in your bags, pocket, purse, car when you're going out. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds whenever you have the opportunity. Soap and water is somewhat better than hand sanitizer just because it's more slippery. And when you scrub, the whole point of washing your hands, it is somewhat to kill the viruses, but it's more to get them off your skin. So when you are scrubbing, that act of scrubbing actually gets them off the skin. And because soap is slippery, it helps you get them off your skin better. However, if you are somewhere where there isn't a sink, like here in the on-air studio, use the hand sanitizer. We've got it. You know, and if you're having trouble finding hand sanitizer, that can be an issue. So in that case, you know, even I wonder if you had no sanitizer and no soap and water, if you simply scrubbed your hands, you're going to do something. You're going to get some of those viruses off your hands.
Sure.
If you just did the scrub thing.
Makes sense.
You know, I also recommend gargling with salt water and tea tree oil, or antiseptic mouthwash. Because viruses do collect in the back of your throat. The way that this virus starts is you do get a sore throat, or you can get a sore throat. So the viruses are obviously collecting in the back of your throat. So if you gargle, you're going to have some direct contact with them. Two things: that if you use salt or tea tree oil, you're going to get some antimicrobial activity, and you are also going to physically agitate the back of your throat, so you're moving the viruses off your throat and spitting them out. Also, if you swallow them, this is not a virus that affects your digestive system. So once the viruses hit your stomach, your hydrochloric acid will kill them. So if you wind up swallowing, then you're going to kill some viruses. I don't recommend swallowing mouthwash. You're not really supposed to do that. So do gargle and then do spit it out. You can use, so if you're using mouthwash, it's best if it's alcohol free, even though alcohol will kill the viruses, but it's better if it's alcohol free. Too much alcohol in your mouth can predispose you to cellular changes in your mouth. You can also spray your nose with antimicrobial nasal spray, such as things with xylitol and grapefruit seed extract, and even just saline will help. You can use nasal mists that have essential oils in it, and also erythritol and xylitol. And you can also use nasal spray that just has grapefruit seed extract and salt. And do that 2 or 3 times a day, or if you've been somewhere where you feel like you've been exposed, use the nasal spray. Even if you use saline nasal spray, it will help, because keeping your mucous membranes moist is helpful. You know, viruses can't take a foothold as easily if your mucous membranes are moist. If you can use a neti pot, do that 1 to 3 times a day as well, and spray your nose when you're done. Getting masks isn't really helpful when you're wearing. You'll be given a mask if you go to a healthcare facility. You're sick. You'll probably be given a mask, but masks are really best saved for healthcare workers, and the ones that they get have very, very tiny pores that are enough for breathing, but don't let viruses in. So just getting day-to-day masks might help you to remind you not to touch your face, but they don't really stop you from getting the virus. So if you're you wear them if you're already sick. One of the things you're supposed to do is practice social distancing. You're supposed to go to less gatherings. That's, you know, hanging out with your friends,
you
going
did that
to parties.
The other night.
I know.
Maybe you didn't.
No, I did go. I went to synagogue, but that was a small gathering with only like 20 people there.
Mm.
And part of the social distancing is people are practicing not hugging when they're in social settings. They're trying to keep 6 feet away from other people. I have a practice of hugging my patients when I'm done seeing them, and I've stopped doing that for now. So I'm a fan of jazz hands. I'm also a fan of, in the Quaker tradition, when you're in the Quaker meeting, you sit silently, except if you're getting up to say something. And one of the ways of clapping, because it's silent, is you take your hands and you sort of shake them. You put them, you make jazz hands, and then you shake them. And I really like that. I think it's cute and it's enthusiastic, and it gets the point across without you having to touch somebody.
Sort of mime-esque.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice thing. And the other thing that's going on is people are making up other fun, non-tactile ways to greet people. There's all kinds of things going on. You can dab your friends if you want to. You can't see me dabbing. This is dabbing.
No, I can't see you dabbing.
This is dabbing.
Pull your radio a little
yeah.
closer.
So, right. So right. There was a cute thing in the media where people were, you know, doing cute handshakes where they don't touch each other, and then they dab like little, you know, dance moves. If you have any cold or flu-like symptoms, stay home. Don't go out. On March 9th, 2020, which was Monday, the first confirmed case of coronavirus was confirmed. I said that twice. The first case of coronavirus was confirmed in the state of Connecticut in Wilton. The state of Connecticut recommended that state workers stay away from gatherings of more than 100 people, telecommute when possible, and stay home if you're symptomatic. State workers are also asked not to travel outside the state. You don't need to go to emergency care unless you are having trouble breathing, having trouble urinating, or have any other symptoms that are truly an emergency. If you just have cold and flu-like symptoms and a bit of a cough, it's better to stay home. It's because right now the healthcare system is going to be overburdened. If you are in respiratory distress and you think you're coughing so much that you can't breathe, or you're truly having respiratory distress, then you have to get yourself to urgent care or to the ER. But if you're not that bad, then it's a good idea to stay home. If you think you might need antibiotics, it's a good idea to try to call your doctor and see if your doctor can help you out without you having to come in. They might do that, and they might not, and they might ask you to come in. You'll have to see. And like I said, it's important not to go in if you're not in severe distress, because they need the space for people who are truly in distress. The healthcare systems are being overburdened. This illness has a mortality rate of about 1 to 3%, which is a good 10 to 20 times as much as the flu. It's still not super high, and most people who catch it are going to recover and be fine. But 1 to 3% of people are not. And the risk groups, they're saying people 60 plus, that's you, Ron.
I resemble that comment.
So it's certainly people 80 plus and anybody who has any kind of a high risk health concern of any age. Children seem to do just fine with this illness. They are not a target group for this illness. And those, like I said, those most at risk are at least 60 years of age and certainly 80 years of age plus and are compromised in some way, who have COPD, immune suppression, or even cancer, or just any illness that compromises your immune system. Even if you're not feeling symptomatic or in a low risk group, it's important to protect yourself. You can carry the, you could carry the virus and fight it off without symptoms. You can, and you can also carry this virus for 2 weeks before you get symptoms. So it's really mind blowing. You could get a mild or moderate case and recover, but you don't want to spread it to someone in a higher risk group. That's the thing. Most of us, if we catch it, we're not going to be very sick. The problem is spreading it to someone who it could be life threatening. That's why we're doing all these measures. That's why we're doing the social distancing. We're not spending time with people. We're choosing not to go to conferences, or conferences are being canceled. By doing these practices, you're less likely to spread it to anyone at risk or not, just or not just an older parent for whom you're caregiving or visiting. I'm getting all kinds of questions about what should I do about this situation? So, for example, I'm supposed to leave the state to go help my sister who's about to give birth. What do I do about that? So the thing is, it all depends on who's around you, what your situation is. If you're going to come in contact with anybody else who's at high risk, you want to practice all the social distancing things. It's probably not a good idea to leave the state at this time. It's better to hunker down and stay home and use your safe practices. So here's the CDC's guidelines for getting tested for coronavirus. So number one, those who have symptoms such as fever or lower respiratory symptoms, cough or shortness of breath, and have had close contact with a confirmed coronavirus patient within 14 days of their first symptoms. Number two, those who have fever and lower respiratory symptoms require hospitalization and have traveled to areas impacted by the epidemic in the last 14 days. And three, patients with fever and severe acute lower respiratory symptoms who require hospitalization and for whom no other diagnosis has been found, such as the flu. No travel or contact exposure is needed. So as you can see, there aren't a lot of test kits available, so they're only testing people who are at very high suspicion of having the illness. So if you have a mild bronchitis that you can live through, that you can, you know, take your guaifenesin and your cough syrup and, you know, you don't feel good, but you don't have shortness of breath, then you don't actually need to go into the doctor. If you're concerned that if you're getting worse and you're not getting better, then of course, then you have to make that judgment call, because sometimes you might need an antibiotic, or your doctor might prescribe an inhaler or something like that. And so try calling in first. And if the doctor wants to see you, of course, the doctor will tell you to come on in. I got a handout from Stanford Hospital feedback on the coronavirus. So the new coronavirus may not show signs of infection for many days. Here's some experts experts in Taiwan provide a simple self-check that you can do every morning. They're talking about the lung has 50% fibrosis. I don't think that's actually correct. I think that's more, that might be a translation error. But if you're in, this is a way to tell if you're in respiratory distress. You take a deep breath and hold your breath for more than 10 seconds. If you complete it successfully without coughing, discomfort, stiffness, or tightness, there's no fibrosis in your lungs, and that your lungs are not seriously infected. And if you self-check every morning in an environment with clean air, you can get this, you can do this sort of self-test. You should ensure your mouth and throat are moist and never dry. Take at least a few sips of water every 15 minutes. Why? Because even if the virus gets into your mouth, drinking water or other liquids will wash them down through your throat and into your stomach. Once there, your stomach acid will kill all the viruses.
No kidding.
Yes. So drinking. So I'm not saying that's perfect, but right. If you're drinking water a lot, so drinking water is another way to help you not to be sick, because if viruses get into your mouth, if there's not a lot of them, you're going to wash them down. If they're a virus that doesn't affect your GI, the stomach acid's going to kill them. One of the reasons why you need stomach acid, it disinfects your food. And if you swallow viruses and bacteria that don't affect the GI, they die. So if you're listening to me, grab your water bottle and take a sip now. Okay. If you don't drink enough water more regularly, the virus can enter your windpipe and into your lungs. So if you just have a runny nose and you're coughing a little bit, you may just have a common cold. That's not necessarily true because the coronavirus can present as just a cold. Coronavirus pneumonia, however, tends to produce a dry cough without a runny nose, but you can also get runny nose symptoms. I think there's some confusing information here. The new virus is not heat resistant and will be killed by a temperature of just 26 to 27 degrees. That's some. What's 26 Celsius? That's going to be in the high 70s. So if you get out in the sun, getting out in the sun is actually helpful. And heating your body up is also going to be helpful. So if you feel healthy enough to exercise, it's a good idea. And also if you can do sauna, steam, or just hot baths and showers, that's going to help you too. Also, what else? Eat hot soup. That's a good idea. Eat hot spicy things or things that are like soup is a really good idea. Soup and hot drinks, hot tea, even hot coffee is going to be helpful. Because if there's virus in your throat, so that's another reason why you drink hot beverages and eat hot soup when you're sick, because if viruses are not heat stable, they die. When the heat hits them, the hot liquid hits them, they die. If someone sneezes near you, it takes about 10 feet before it drops to the ground and is no longer airborne. So they're saying stay away from people 6 feet. That may not be enough. If a droplet drops on a metal surface, it'll live for at least 12 hours. So if you come into contact with any metal surface, you should wash your hands as soon as you can with a bacterial soap. And if you're not near soap and you have your handy hand sanitizer, I'm holding it up. You can't see it through the microphone. But yeah, so use it. And on fabric, it can survive for 6 to 12 hours. Normal laundry detergent will kill it. Also, you know, if you're using hot water and if you're throwing it in the dryer, that will kill it. So anything you can throw in the dryer, you know, we like to hang dry a lot of our stuff. If you like to hang your stuff and, you know, it's not raining out and the sun is out, hang it outside because the sun will help to kill it. The warmth of the sun will help to kill it and the UV, the ultraviolet light, will help to kill it as well. So warm water, drinking warm water. So warm water, any warm drink and soup and tea and all that stuff is going to be helpful. Obviously, wash your hands as frequently as you can. How often should you wash your hands? Kind of, sort of, whenever you think of it, whenever you're changing activities. If you feel like you haven't done it in a while, go ahead and do it. I'm sitting here at the console. I've got a bottle of hand sanitizer in front of me. I'll probably use it a couple of times during my time on the air, and I'll certainly use it before I leave. If you can carry, if you have hand sanitizer with you, great. If not, soap and water works great. It really does. When you wash your hands, of course, spend at least 20 seconds doing it. If you're bored of singing Happy Birthday, there are other songs you can sing choruses you can sing that take about 20 seconds to sing. And there's memes online where you can find cool ones to sing. I already talked about gargling. Gargling is a good idea. And just salt water. Just salt water is fine. You can, if you want to get an antimicrobial, alcohol-free gargle, you can certainly do that. If you use plain salt water, it's great because salt is, just kills things osmotically. It kills viruses osmotically. And again, simply agitating the fluid at the back of your throat, it's like throwing clothes in the washing machine. You're agitating what's back there and you're going to dislodge things. That either you're going to spit out, or if they're dislodged, you're then going to swallow them. And coronaviruses, if you swallow them, they'll go into your stomach and be killed by your hydrochloric acid. Yay! All right. So depending on, so the symptoms can vary, because like we said, some people get a very mild case. Some people just get what seems like the flu. And some people get what seems like a cold, and you don't actually know. There's a suggestion that it infects your throat first, so you have a sore throat that lasts 3 or 4 days. And once you get that sore throat, start gargling and start isolating yourself. Stay home. Don't go to work. Don't go to school. Don't go visit things. Don't go to the gym. just stay home, isolate yourself. The virus will then blend into your nasal fluid, and that ultimately can enter your trachea, which is your windpipe, and get into your lungs. And the scary thing is if it causes pneumonia. And it can cause an extreme nasal congestion. So the big thing that happens with this coronavirus is something I've been talking about called the cytokine storm. And the if you get a cytokine storm, what happens is what cytokines is an umbrella term for various compounds in your body, like leukotrienes and bradykinins and interferon that stimulate the immune system to work, and they stimulate white blood cells to work harder. And so when you get a storm of these compounds, what happens is you get an increase of infiltrates of white blood cells. And if they infiltrate into your lungs, they block up your breathing apparatus. And that's part of what goes on. You have an excess of these white blood cells in your lungs, and they block your breathing passages. That's part of what happens. And then they start spitting out their lysozymes and all their compounds and their inflammatory compounds, and they cause some disruption and scarring. And then that further aggravates your lungs. So when you get these cytokine storms, that's what's very dangerous, and that's what will ultimately cause the respiratory distress. And you can get cytokine storms. Apparently, this virus can cause a cytokine storm in the kidneys as well. So you can do things to reduce cytokine storms, and a couple of things that reduce cytokine storms. One of them is curcumin. So it's a good idea to put turmeric in everything. You know, if you want to have a hot drink, have a golden milk. That's a great idea. My advice is if you're going to do golden milk, this is a time when you want to think about doing it non-dairy, because dairy increases mucus. And gluten can also increase mucus, but dairy has been studied to increase mucus even in people who are not allergic to dairy. So it's a good idea to avoid dairy. But turmeric in everything, and consider taking curcumin. Curcumin calms cytokines. It calms cytokine storms. So does resveratrol. My friend David Olarsh, who's a naturopathic physician, he suggested eating red grapes. That's a great way to get resveratrol. You can also drink grape juice, and you can also take resveratrol. You know, so these are things that can calm cytokine storms. Another great one is ginger, and drinking ginger tea, ginger and everything. So ginger and curcumin and resveratrol are three things that are very helpful for calming that cytokine storm. So if you take those ongoing, even if you get sick, you're going to be less likely to have that cytokine storm, and so you're not going to get into trouble. I can't guarantee this. These are things that I know to be helpful. If you do them and you get sick anyway, I'm sorry. I can't, because you never know. Each person is an individual, and you don't know what's going to happen to you in particular. We do know that only 1 to 3% of people die from this. But if that person is your mother, that's horrible. So you want to protect your mother, his mother, everyone's mother from being infected by this virus, because you just don't know. You just don't know who that person is going to be. And you want to protect people who you know to be at risk. So anybody who has a cardiovascular condition, anybody who already has a lung condition, anybody who has is immunocompromised in any way, anybody who's working through cancer, and anybody who has an autoimmune condition where that's not entirely well controlled, you want to be really careful with those people. So a lot of things, I'm being personally directly affected by what's going on in my field. So CNPA conference, the Connecticut Naturopathic Physicians Association, our conference was scheduled at Mohegan Sun Friday and Saturday. It's postponed. We don't know when it's going to be postponed to. I had contacted the organizers to see if they had a teleconferencing option. And they did not, but what they had told us was that they were going to record the conference so that people who didn't want to come could listen to it another time and still get their continuing ed credits. And that was Friday. And like I said, things are changing so fast. And then they had been sending emails out every day to remind us that the conference was coming up. And all of a sudden on Monday morning, no email. And I figured that's because they were trying to figure out what to do. And the next email that came out was something that talked about how they were changing how food was going to be served, how all of the precautions that they were going to take, how they're working with Mohegan to make it a safe experience. Next day, next email, conference is postponed. It's not happening because we had too many people who were coming from out of state and states that were higher risk to either speak at the conference or attend the conference. So we were like, all right, we can't take the chance. So conference is postponed. So I'm not going to the conference. This is a little hard on me because I booked off work on Friday.
Right.
I'm not seeing patients on Friday. And, you know, I don't have enough backlog to put them back in. So I'm not going to be seeing patients on Friday. And this conference is going to be rescheduled. So presumably I'm going to have to book off another day of work after we hope this this crisis is over. So it affected me that way. Another way it has affected me is, can you say elderberry? So Amy and I went online last night because we do our ordering for our supplements, and our suppliers, we were having a difficult time getting elderberry syrup. A lot of the immune products were back ordered. So people are figuring this out, and, you know, a lot of naturopaths are stocking up on immune products, and they're flying off the shelves. And elderberry is the big – and anytime you would look up elderberry, it was hard to find. I didn't try to specifically look up echinacea. We were more able to get some echinacea products, but elderberry is huge, and elderberry has been flying off the shelves. So it's pretty amazing. So we're trying to find shortcuts, and we're trying to find other things that we can use that are not elderberry. And there's certainly things you can look at. And I'm afraid if I say them, they're going to fly off the shelves too. You know, among them, dare I say it, vitamin A, zinc, vitamin C, vitamin E, olive leaf, monolaurin, coarse echinacea, and osha and ginger. So there's and mushrooms, arabinogalactans. There's all kinds of things that you can still use. And even if you don't use those things, if you just, make hot soup with bone broth, or if you just, make a hot soup with bone broth that also has a lot of vegetables in it, and mushrooms in particular, they can help you with your immune system. So it's affecting people in all sectors, and, you know, that a lot of large gatherings are being canceled. This is a perfect example. This conference was canceled or postponed anyway. People are canceling travel. It's disastrous for the airline industry. People are getting on planes with barely anybody on it. And people are canceling trips. People are canceling spring break. Colleges are closing. We're not entirely sure what's going to happen with the University of Connecticut, that students have been asked to carry their academic materials home from spring break. And spring break starts this weekend. And I believe it starts Sunday. And so next week is spring break. And students have been asked to bring all of their academic materials home because they're not sure if they're going to let people back, that they may be doing they may be doing remote classes. And a lot of universities are doing remote classes. My friend who works at Princeton University was told that the students were sent home for 3 weeks, and he's able to continue. He's been sent home as well with 3 weeks paid. So universities, many universities are closing for the semester. They're just doing their classes online, remotely. And of course, as we said, that Governor Lamont has asked people to not leave the state if their state workers are mandated to not leave the state, which has affected sporting events. Have you heard the latest of what's going on with the NCAA?
Not yet, but that's a biggie right there, because there's so many tournaments going on right now. I know a lot of the high school tournaments have canceled.
That's right.
And I just, heard a little piece on the radio when I was driving up here and talked about how parents are very upset, because their kids want to play games. They want to play their sports.
Right.
And, this is championship games. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
It is.
And I can't see the dance being canceled for both men and women. I just can't see it.
They might have no spectators, though.
They may have a restricted spectator issue. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, maybe that, which is really weird because that's all part of it. You know, part of it is the energy and the environment and the whole deal. And
I know they're really scared of this virus, and
they're really
I know that the likelihood of dying is higher than with the flu,
mm-hmm.
but it's 1 to 3% versus 0.5%, and you know, I mean and this flu is terrifying because, again, you don't know who you're going to give the flu to. The same thing holds. You don't want to spread influenza to your 80-year-old mother.
Right.
Mom.
And it does tend to be, you know, the problem is when you deliver something like this to a compromised person in the first place.
But we're behaving a lot differently with this virus than
we are
with the flu.
Yep, we sure are, and I don't get it.
I know, and Ebola wasn't like this, and the various flus that have come through. We are all being mandated to change our behaviors in an extreme way. You know, when I go to the yoga studio, I'm still, you know, I'm wondering when my yoga studio is going to have to close. Like, I think a lot of businesses are not going to close unless they're mandated to close, and that's where I'm at. My bookings are down.
Well, you know, is the University of Connecticut going to close?
Right, we don't know. But
we don't
know. I said,
will we be on the air next week?
Well, we could consider, if we're not here, we could still consider recording a podcast at home.
We could.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Yeah, we should definitely consider that.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
I don't think we should consider. I think we should do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boo.
Don't boo me.
Boo. I like it better here.
Well, I know. Of course you do. But if we're mandated not to come, we can't come.
Right.
I know. Yeah.
Sigh. So Chuck called from Tolland.
This is making me very anxious. I'm anxious.
You're extremely anxious.
It
has been quite an entertaining time hanging out with you.
You're no fun. But listen, you have to understand.
No fun.
I'm a healthcare provider and I have to model good behavior and I have to push useful information out to the public. One of the things that we're doing at the office is we're wiping down counters roughly hourly, you know, and especially counters that patients touch, the counters in the bathrooms, the checkout counter. My staff is wiping things down more regularly.
I'm sighing in your general direction.
So we've changed what we're doing a little bit.
I know.
You know, where I'm hand washing more, as much as I mean, before I touch any patient, I always sanitize. But, you know, now I'm doing it more, if you can imagine that.
I know.
When I say goodbye to the patient, I go in the bathroom and wash my hands.
I asked a question this morning in spin class. Are you a handshaker? And said, you know, had everybody raise their hand who was a handshaker, and I had a bunch of people raise their hands. And then I said, are you a hugger? And I had a whole bunch of people raise their hands.
Yeah.
And I went, are you frustrated yet? And everybody was, you know, it started a conversation. Everybody, you know, really, oh, I can't believe this. It's driving me nuts. You know, I had that conversation in the co-op the other day. And, you know, our friend Perry said, I'm a hugger. You know, this is really not good.
Right.
You know, and I get it. I'm the same way.
I'm trying not to hug my patients now, not because I don't want to hug them, but because I have to model good behavior.
Well, I'm really curious about what's going to happen with the fact that I've taken this job with the census.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I'm going to be walking into people's homes.
Yes.
I what's the protocol? What's
And
what's
you're 60
the deal?
Plus.
And I'm a quote-unquote compromised person because of age.
And you're also compromised because when I offer you things that, for example,
here we go.
Could reduce your cytokines, you're inconsistent about ingesting them.
Yes, dear. That's two famous words.
Well, you know what you might want to do?
Yeah.
You know how you love to make that ginger tea with...
I've been drinking ginger tea very
regularly.
I know,
the ginger tea with curcumin, or with turmeric and cinnamon.
Yep.
Maybe you should just think of that as something you make all the time. Don't think of it as something you make when you're sick. Just have it going.
It's going right now.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's simmering at home right now?
No, but I have some
in
the refrigerator.
Gotcha.
I've got a batch that I'm working off of right now.
But when it's done, you should make more. Just keep it Keep it going.
And I bought more ginger at the co-op the other day to do exactly that.
And then when we eat, we should like just put ginger and turmeric on all our food.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that. We got the powdered stuff. We can just shake it on.
Yeah, we shake it on.
We can do that. It's easy.
Fresh stuff. And
it's easy. And I cooked a stir fry last week with ginger.
Yeah, you can do
ginger
that
ginger and turmeric, both.
Yeah, and you know.
Yeah. So sooner. Question for you. Yeah. Chuck called from Tolland.
Yes, Chuck from Tolland.
He's outside working.
Yeah,
and happy about it.
That's good.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So hi to Chuck, because he is listening right now.
Yeah.
He wants to know your opinion about when is this going to end? Is it like the flu where it has a point where, you know how we worry about the flu all winter long, and then after the winter goes by, it's like no one worries about the flu anymore? So his question is, you know, how long do we have to be scared, I guess, is what the question is.
That is a super excellent question.
That's what I told him.
And he's not the only one to have asked it.
I bet it's all over
the World Wide Web. So here's my I can give you my speculation, and then I can, but people have been asking it. So I'm looking at Vox right now. So the person writing for Vox asked this question to several experts. When do they think it's going to end? Back then, the virus was still mainly just spreading in China, and the scientists outlined a hopeful scenario. They thought that through identifying and isolating it, it could be kept from spreading communities around the world. Containment was how the 2003 SARS outbreak, which was also a coronavirus, ended. Now many experts say that the scenario seems impossible. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were still hoping for containment, but they think we're past that, the statement they make is the horse is out of the barn. And there's now evidence that people who do not show severe symptoms can spread it silently. And there's a slow rollout of diagnostic tests in the U.S. The U.S. has been pretty slow to roll out their testing. Mm-hmm. And there are... the World Health Organization reports there are more than 100,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19 across the globe, more than 3,400 deaths, and there could be many more undetected. So now we're in this new uncertain phase. Most uncomfortable answer is that if it keeps spreading at a high rate and becomes endemic, it could regularly infect humans like the common cold. So the answer is I don't have a good answer.
Yeah, it says here pandemics end when the virus doesn't have enough susceptible people to infect.
Right.
The catastrophic 1918 Spanish flu pandemic is thought to have infected 500 million people worldwide, many of them soldiers living in close quarters fighting in World War I. Once the war ended and people dispersed, the spread slowed as people had less contact.
But
the flu was ultimately halted in part because those who survived it had immunity and the virus didn't hop as easily as it did in the beginning.
So that may be what happens. And so are we talking about weeks or months or a year? I don't know.
That's
what's going to happen, that the people really susceptible to it, I hate to say it, they're going to pass. And then the people who are not so susceptible are going to get it and they're going to recover and then they're going to have some immunity. The other thing that will happen is that we will go into spring and people will do what Chuck is doing, getting outside. And being outside is one of the best things you can do because, you know, it's harder to spread stuff when you're out. Now, if you're outside at a music festival, for example, Coachella and Stagecoach have been postponed till the fall. That's one thing. But if you're just outside riding your bike on your own, or even if you're riding your bike with friends, you're not touching them. That's pretty safe. And certainly like Chuck, who's working outside on his own, that's a great place to be because you've got the effect of the environment. You've got the negative ions that you're making. You've got the sunlight. So you're making your vitamin D and your thyroid's working better and your hormones are working better. And we are in a place, it's almost the equinox is next week. So the days are getting longer at either end, even though we had daylight savings time and now it's dark in the morning. We're still gaining minutes rapidly at either end of the day. So being outside is really helpful.
That's a thing that I was, thinking about is that we live in a world of confinement.
Yes.
Think about it. You know, we're all here, because I said something to Chuck about that on the phone. We live in a world of confinement. We're all indoors.
Yes.
And we're indoors when we work. We're indoors when we play, because we're playing with our devices.
Yes.
Right? And we get home from work at night, and what do? We go back inside.
Yeah.
So we're constantly confined.
Right.
And because of that confinement, there's no way to dilute the pollution.
Right.
Right?
Because
and,
dilution,
you know, dilution is the solution to pollution.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
For sure.
But if we spend all this time indoors all the time, then you have a problem. So my recommendation is going to be that if you are a teacher and you are teaching a class, you're concerned, take your class outside. Teach your class outside.
If you can.
If you can.
You may not. There may be rules about that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But the point is, there's a lot of rules that are being changed right now because,
right.
you know, there's this big concern. And, you know, I mean, when do you get sick? When you hop on an airplane, you get sick, right? Why do you do
right.
that? Because you're confined. You're
yes.
stuck in this tube
yes.
that is filled with people that some of them, maybe many of them, are you know, they're sick. And they're still going to go on vacation, or they're still going to go visit their family, or they're still going to do whatever they do, or go do business or whatever. So they just fly with the sickness, and then you get on the airplane, and then everybody gets it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Well, one of the things that's happening is, so I've been notified by Southwest because I have two flights coming up. And,
yes,
you know, and I don't have, I'm a little relieved that the conference was canceled because I was trying to make the difficult decision of whether to go or not. The reason to not go is because, of course, then I'm going to protect myself for sure. If there's any chance of me catching it at the casino, that wouldn't happen. But the other side of that was I had booked those. It's financial. I booked those 2 days off. I was going to get the continuing ed. And if I didn't do it, if the conference was going to happen and I didn't go and I had to do the recorded conference, I would have had to make that time up at another time. I could because they didn't have a teleconferencing option. So and then the question was, should I have this trip planned to go see my mom on April 4th. Do I go to the conference or do I go to my mom? And people were suggesting do one or the other. Well, now I didn't do the conference, so it's more likely safer that I go see my mom. Having said that, if the governor is saying don't leave the state, I may not be able to go. And thank goodness for Southwest. That Southwest has these extremely liberal changing policies, so and they have them all the time, not even just with this situation. But many airlines are now waiving their change fees and giving liberal change policies and liberal cancellation policies. So people are able to cancel travel if they have to. So, you know, my mom and I are going to make that final decision probably the week before I'm set to go. And if I don't go, I'm going to have Passover at home, you know, and maybe not even go to a Seder. If I go to a Seder, I'll go to a small one, I suppose. So I honestly don't know what I'll do. Anyway, but one of the things that's happening is when people do get on airplanes, there's a lot less people traveling. So again, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Southwest put out a statement. It hasn't canceled my flight yet. And it said that it has super enhanced cleaning practices and they have HEPA filters for the air, so you're not really breathing recirculated air. Of course, if you're sitting next to somebody who's sick, you still have that problem. But that would be why I would say, I mean, personally, when I travel, when I'm on a plane, I carry hand sanitizer, I carry nasal spray, and I carry the xylitol grapefruit seed saline nasal spray, and I carry throat spray. So that's the other thing. I didn't mention throat spray. You can get throat spray too that you can carry with you. And throat spray, you get throat sprays that have things like echinacea, golden seal, propolis, other immune compounds, Oregon grape, that you can spray anytime. So you carry them with you. And if you feel like you've been exposed, you just spray your throat. And so you have even more protection than if you just drank water. You have stuff that's actually immune supportive and antimicrobial. And I just wonder if, I think somebody should come up with a honey turmeric lozenge. I wonder if there, turmeric doesn't taste that great, but a honey turmeric ginger lozenge would be a really nice thing. You can certainly get Manuka honey ginger lemon lozenges. Those are available. But just simple honey, turmeric, ginger, that would be a great thing. Boy, if nobody's made those, I might think about making those. But getting those cytokine storm calmers is a great idea. So, all right. So that's what's going on. I hope we haven't scared you too much. And yet, you know, an abundance of caution is indicated right now. So, this is a time when we do have to be thinking about these. All right. So I'll spend the next few minutes talking about some clinical pearls that I've gotten in my travels and my listening. So elderberry, unfortunately, it's getting hard to find elderberry right now. And we're not 100% clear that elderberry fights the coronavirus. It certainly fights viruses in general, and it certainly fights the flu, influenza virus. Coronavirus is not the same kind of virus, and yet, you know, it is flying off the shelves. But anyway, elderberry is also good for any nerve inflammation. It's helpful for trigeminal neuralgia and Bell's palsy and sciatica. And the question there about elderberry, why elderberry does so well with those conditions, because elderberry, I learned this a long time ago. That's one of the reasons I started taking elderberry regularly, because I'm prone to sciatica because I have disc degeneration in my lumbar spine. And the idea that sciatica may be viral, and if it's viral, it could be a herpes virus that's sitting around in there acting up because, you know, you have a disc that's degenerated and the herpes virus has an inflammatory situation and you know, the immune system is working on the inflammation of the disc, so it's not as available to deal with herpes viruses that are sitting in the in your disc, and maybe they're being activated, and that sciatica is really a kind of herpetic neuralgia, even if it's not straight up. It may not be straight up shingles, because shingles, you would know if you had shingles. If you had shingles and it was coming from your lumbar spine, you'd have the shingles around that area. You'd have your shingles in your lower back. But it could be just a herpes 1 virus or some other herpes virus that just sits in your, because they like to sit in your nerve roots. That's where they like to hang out. And if those nerves get inflamed, then they like to travel down the nerve roots and cause trouble. So there's this thought that sciatica may be viral. And that would be why elderberry fights it. Okay, let's talk about cinnamon. We were talking about, Ron makes this wonderful tea where it's a decoction. And what a decoction is when you take roots and bark and you boil it and simmer it for a long time to get the properties into the tea. That's different from an infusion. When you make a nice cup of tea with leaves and or flowers, that's when you take your tea bag of anything, whether it's your chamomile or your black tea or green tea or, your hibiscus, doesn't matter. If it's leaves and flowers, you set it in the water and you let it steep for a while and then you take it out. That's an infusion. A decoction is when you actually boil the herbs together with the water, and that's what you would do with roots and bark. And so because ginger and turmeric and cinnamon are roots and bark, so he puts it into water and he simmers it for a long time. And then it will boil down to a bit and it's going to get concentrated. So that's very nice. So cinnamon is a really important part. I keep cinnamon on my counter and I make sure it's real cinnamon. You have to be careful about cinnamon because sometimes if you buy poor quality cinnamon just from the grocery store, it could be cornstarch covered in cassia oil. What you want is real cinnamon, and it can be from Ceylon. It can be from Saigon. Either way, it's really Sri Lanka. But it has to be real ground cinnamon sticks if you're using the powder. I always keep some on my counter. I have two bottles going at all times. And if one gets emptied, the other one comes out and we take the other one to the co-op and we fill it up because they have bulk herbs over there. So if you have diabetes, if you take a half a teaspoon twice a day of cinnamon, it can help your diabetes. It can help with your blood sugar regulation. Cinnamon in general is a blood sugar regulating substance, and it does taste sweet, but it helps with blood sugar regulation. So if you're trying to lose weight, or if you're on a ketogenic diet, or you're on a low carb diet, you can cinnamon whatever you want. I find cinnamon is really tasty in coffee. And if you want to try to put less sweetener into your coffee, try if you like the taste of cinnamon in your coffee, put the cinnamon in and see if you can use less sweetener. I find that that works for me, that I love the taste of cinnamon in coffee. And I remember there's this beautiful scene in, that lovely movie with Penelope Cruz, Woman on Top. That's a great movie. I recommend seeing it. But in that movie, she's a chef, and you see her making her coffee in the morning, and she's dancing while she's making the coffee, and she takes a cinnamon stick and puts it in the coffee, and she's, you know, inhaling the beautiful scent of that coffee with the cinnamon in it. I never forgot that. I also just, you know, whether she did that or not, it still smells wonderful with that cinnamon in the coffee. And if you can, you should watch that movie. It's a nice movie. All right. So also dizziness. So some people get dizzy, and dizziness is something that you really want to get evaluated because there can be so many reasons for it. And then some people, if there's no obvious reason why they're getting dizziness and lightheadedness, if you're not found to be sick, you're not found to have any kind of a tumor, you don't have migraines, there's nothing serious going on. Sometimes it can be that the crystals or otoliths in your ears are out of balance. And I will tell you that I've had a number of patients go and get vestibular physical therapy and had it work really nicely. And one of the things that happens when you're in menopause or you're past menopause is lightheaded. You get inexplicably lightheaded and dizzy. And it can be just a low-grade thing, but it's like you don't like standing up for too long. And this is something that I have found since I'm into my menopause, you'd rather be sitting down. You don't want to just be standing in one spot for too long because you get a little lightheaded. And there's the thought there is that it has to do with estrogen, that when you have reduced estrogen, your estrogen also affects the balance centers. And if you don't have enough, your body's not quite sure where you are in space, and it affects your semicircular canals, and that's what happens. So there was a suggestion that you could get intramuscular 1 cc a week of vitamin B12, and that can help with dizziness. And if you don't want to get IM, you could take a bunch of B12 every day, and that might be helpful. Also, wonderful magnesium glycinate, something which I try to take every day. It's one of my favorite forms of magnesium because you get the magnesium and you get the glycine, and they're both calming, and glycine has a lot of good benefits for you. It helps with pain. It helps you to store sugar as glycogen in your liver, so it can help you with your energy. It can also help you to have better workouts. It's really helpful. All right. So those are a few. Those are a few things. The other thing is for migraines, you can take a teaspoon of ginger in the morning. So a teaspoon of ginger is going to be ground ginger. So if you take a teaspoon of that, some people find that if they take that teaspoon of ginger, when you take that teaspoon of ginger, you're going to be less likely to get a migraine during the day. And that makes sense because ginger is, as we said before, it's a wonderful anti-inflammatory. Migraines, the basis of migraines, there can be an inflammatory component to them. If you have more inflammation in the nerves, you're going to be more likely to get migraines, and ginger is just a wonderful anti-inflammatory. I'm keeping even just candied ginger in my desk at work and having a couple of chunks of those, really spicy ginger, and encouraging us to eat a lot of ginger in our food and have ginger as a preferred flavor in whatever we're doing right now. All right, so those are some nice pearls for you. I'm sure if I do ever get to go to this conference, I'll have more pearls for you, but, you know, we'll keep coming up with them. So do wash your hands if you're listening to me right now. Wash your hands, drink some water, clean your nose, clean your throat, wash your hands for at least 20 seconds, and we hope to be back next week here live, but we will see what happens. Next week will be spring break, so it's possible that we'll be back next week, but it's 2 weeks from now that I'm more concerned about. All right. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, @FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM. WHUS Stores.